Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. First things first, everybody turn off your phones. Everybody done that? Turn off the ringer. So in the Gita, Krishna, in the 4th chapter, 2nd verse, says to Arjuna, Evam parampara praptam imam raja shayo viduhu sa kalaneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. So this is a very important verse. There are no verses in the Gita which are not important, but among the important verses, this is another one of them. The point here being that the transcendental knowledge is received through a chain of disciplic succession of gurus, of teachers. Some are more prominent than others. Just like to make a mundane example, in India they have the big electric generator, but they have the nuclear generators and different power state generators, right? And then they have the power supply is being shipped to the cities. Right? They have big long cables. And then in between, they have some substations where there's a lot of generators to keep the pressure up. That's another word for voltage. Electricity, the pressure is called voltage, how much is being pushed at. And then you have the regular power lines which connect everything. And in between, there's more substations. So if we take the ultimate generator, the ultimate source is Krishna, right? And then there's the main acharyas are like the substations which keep the juice going. And in between, to keep everything connected, not that everyone is a big acharya, then there's the ordinary, what do you call them, diksha gurus, which keep everything going. But specifically in our sampradaya, and if you look in the beginning of the Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions the acharyas. Those are all shiksha gurus, not diksha gurus. You don't see, for example, you don't see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's diksha guru mentioned. You don't see the diksha guru of various. They're not mentioned. Only the shiksha. That's the most important part. So they're pumping the knowledge and the other diksha gurus which are keeping it going, that transmission going. They keep the line going. Because not everybody is going to be, it's like, Einstein. He had many students. How many of them were Einsteins? Only one. He was there. But then none of them came to his level. But some of their students, because they were transmitting the knowledge that he got, they became also very big. So the main thing is with that transmission of knowledge, just like in the case of Ramanujacharya, it is said that actually he was a disciple of Namalwar. But how can that be? They were so far apart. But that's because from Namalwar, the information went to Natamuni. Natamuni gave it to his disciple, Ram Mishra. Ram Mishra to Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya to Mahapurna to Ramanuja. The intervening gurus, they were just keeping the message going. But he is considered the disciple of Namaula, even though there's several gurus in between. But the whole point of Srila, is that Srila Prabhupada, in the Guru Parampara, he is bringing this knowledge. As he often said that in the 18th chapter of Gita, he made the comment that religion without philosophy is what? Huh? What? Okay, good. I thought somebody said speculation. Sentiment or, what's the other thing? Can be sentiment or fanaticism. You see, some are sentimental, others are fanatical, because there's no philosophy. And philosophy without religion is speculation. You might think that speculating, what's the harm of that? Right? Well, a little speculation, you know, you divert just a little bit. And last 150 years, there have been certain mental speculations, like, for example, Marxism. That's a speculation. That's a philosophical speculation. Did it do any harm? Tens of millions of people were killed because of that little speculation. And they're still suffering. People are still suffering because of that. It's not over yet. So like in the last phases of the disease. It's a disease. These kind of diseases are such that they usually, the way the disease ends is because it kills the patient. So there's no place else for the disease to go. It dies off because it killed the host. That's what happened with communism. The host countries died. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he was teaching the philosophy. It's the philosophy which is important. Along with, because in India people have the idea of the Dharma, the religion, but the philosophy is so important that it is. So he spent his life learning this philosophy. So sometimes people can say, like I was reading one book distribution story yesterday of some devotee in Delhi. He met some Sikh gentleman. So he was trying to show him a book, and the Sikh gentleman said, "I don't like Krishna." He said, "Well, you may not like Krishna, but Krishna likes you. He's your best friend." So the Sikh thought about that. He said, "Anyways, I haven't got any time." And the Lord said, "Well, that's the problem with the modern age. We don't have time for the most important things. The most important things, finding out what is the goal of life, who I am, why I am here. These things we haven't got time for. But we have time to check what is the last SMS that we have for doing this. So many other things, we have time. The things which are urgent, but not important. Many things which are urgent in our life, but they aren't important. Right? We always put off, we'll do the important things later. But what does Shakespeare say? What does Shakespeare say? He's a Shakespeare buff. Tide and time wait for no man. I was just reading in the fifth canto about Jadabharat's father. Says how his father was trying to do different, the right things for Jadabharat, and while he was doing these things, he forgot about death. But death did not forget about him. We may forget about death, but death is not forgetting about us. There was one interesting little story about one merchant in Baghdad. He had a servant. And one time the servant went to the market. When he was in the market, he saw death personified. And the death personified saw him. He had a strange look on his face. And so the servant became terrified, and he ran away. And he went to his master and said, But I just saw death. Death was looking at me in a strange way. I'm leaving town. I'm going to go to, there was one hill station called Samara. I'm going to go there, run away, so death won't find me. But then so then the master, he was curious about this. He went to the market and he found death personified and said, why did you scare my servant? He says, why are you scaring him? He says, I wasn't scaring him. I was just surprised to see him. Because I have an appointment with him tonight in Samara. I'm surprised to see him here. I'm supposed to be meeting him in Samara. So, you won't escape that. These are the important things in life. The important things in life are not eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. That's a struggle for material existence. That was the struggle 10 million lifetimes ago, 10 million years ago. It's a struggle today. It hasn't changed. Even though we have the internet, people can say, oh, we're modern, we have the internet. But what are they doing on the internet? Eating. They're looking for restaurants on the internet, looking for good recipes, you know. Let me find a good recipe for, gobi Manchurian. Maybe there's a better one. I'm tired of the one my wife has been making. Or, they're looking for hotels to sleep. And then, of course, for sex, there's so many things. Shadi.com, a million pornography sites. And defending, you can buy your guns online. They have internet warfare. So many things. So it's the same thing. There's no difference. And in the future, that will be the same struggle for material existence. That's what the dogs and cats are doing. Animal life. But this is not the real problem. It's an urgent problem. Because if we don't work, not everybody's going to work. If we get an education, why? If we don't get an education, you can't get a job. Can't get a job, then you get pain. Right here. Right? It's called hunger. So this is a belly-filling problem. The real problem is birth, death, old age, and disease. This is the real problem. How to solve that? Modern scientists, they avoid this problem because they can't solve it. They try to just solve the ones they can't solve. They avoid these problems altogether. So if Srila Prabhupada, as a representative of the Guru Parampara, he has come to first tell us what are the real problems and then what is the solution. The problem hasn't changed. It's been the same all along and will be the same now. Will continue to be the same. Nothing will change. Just some surface changing things from one place to the other, but it's the same thing. Old wine in a new bottle. There's nothing different. And whether you find your wife through shadi.com or whether you find her through your cousin, it does it the same situation. So Srila Prabhupada is teaching us this knowledge. He's come to bring us knowledge of who is God. He was not interested in promoting himself. It's not the Prabhupada consciousness movement, it's the Krishna consciousness movement. He's always interested in promoting Krishna. Promoting Lord Chaitanya's mission, promoting the holy name, always at his own expense. He put so much in his whole life, and not that we could say, oh, well, we can't do that because we're grihastas. He was a sannyasi. He took sannyas at age 58. What was he doing? Until then, he was a grihasta. He started his Back to Godhead magazine in 1944 when he was 48 years of age. He used all his resources. He studied. He read. While he was a grihasta, he maintained that he had a large family. He had a business. But he was studying. He was preparing himself. Not that we wait, oh, I'll read the Bhagavatam after I'm 60 or after I retire. He was doing that as a young man. Right? In order to prepare. Like in the first book of the Lilamrita, a lifetime of preparation. So sometimes people give an excuse. I met some devotees. They've been devotees since like 1993, 1995. I asked them, so which canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam are you at? Third canto. After 18 years, in the movement. They've only read up to the third canto. Fortunately, Srila Prabhupada wasn't following that method. If he would have followed that method, we wouldn't all be here. He studied very deeply. And he didn't, like everybody else, he was a grihastha. He had more children. Then people had more children. Now in India, people have 1.8 children. Or something like that. What's the actual number? Not more than two. Yeah, 1.8 or something like that. He had like five children, approximately. He said, his first son walked, went out, and never just, he was a little bit slightly mentally retarded. He went for a walk one day and just didn't come back. And so he had many children. He had many responsibilities. Business. Still, what to speak of Srila Prabhupada? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had like 14 children. Plus, he had an extremely important occupation. He was a head magistrate. Yet he read everything. He did so much preaching. He wrote so many books, and he was a grihastha. So it's not that we should say, "Oh, we're grihasthas. We can't do these things." But we have to do these things. We have to. Vyasadeva was a grihastha. He had time. He found the time. You make the time. So Srila Prabhupada made the time in his life to do the most important things. The most important thing. To find the solutions of the real problems of life. Birth, death, old age, and disease. And he gave this knowledge to us. And so what is our duty? If we want to, we say we want to, we love Prabhupada. We want to glorify Prabhupada. If we really want to glorify Prabhupada, then we'll do what he wants. He wants us to continue purely propagating this knowledge. Otherwise, if we don't, then what's the second half of that verse? What's the second half of that verse, Krishna says? But in course of time, the succession was broken. It happens. It happens a lot. So do we want to be the ones who do that? We want to go down in history as the ones who dropped the ball? how many innings is it in cricket? You know, you lose, you get whatever. I'm not a cricket fan. So do we want to go down in history as the ones who lost the game? And Krishna had to come and pick up the ball for us? Re-establish the Sampradaya? No, I don't want to. That would be a great misfortune. How will we be able to face Srila Prabhupada? Because everybody here is a Shiksha disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Because in the Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada is there. The intervening gurus, some may be great, some may be small, but they're carrying the message. That means everybody, like in the Sri Sampradaya, everybody is, when they get initiated, they're Ramanuja Dasa. Everybody sees Ramanuja Charya or Vinati Deshika or the Madhvas. They see the big Acharya. That's who they're connected to. They may have their guru. So everybody here is actually a Shiksha disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So they have that commitment. They have that debt to pay him, Srila Prabhupada. So if you want to glorify him, as Srila Prabhupada once said, it's very nice, the disciple comes and says some nice words, and then they go away, they pay the face, and then they go away, then they don't do anything. But that's not. The real disciple is the one who knows the mind of his guru. Huh? The Mano Vishtam. What does it say in the beginning? Rupa Goswami, he knows. Introduction. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitamina Bhutale. So Rupa Goswami, he understood the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, without even having to be told, he fulfilled the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we also by studying Prabhupada's books, by hearing his lectures, we have to understand what is the heartfelt desire of Srila Prabhupada, his manobishta, and then fulfill that. Then we will be glorifying him. And then I was approaching one very famous astrologer, Sri Manira Ganti Rangacharya, Sri Vaishnava. So I wanted him to be my astrology teacher for a certain subject. And he made the point that the duty of a disciple is to bring glory to the name of the guru. So, what to speak of an astrology guru? Our spiritual master, all of our either our Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, our duty is to bring glory to his name. That is our duty. So Srila Prabhupada, because of him, he glorified so many of the previous acharyas. We now what is speaking our own sampradaya. Now the name of Ramanuja is known all over the world, the name of Madhvacharya. All these various acharyas, he glorified them, he brought glory to them. They're not even in our sampradaya, but he brought, because they are worthy persons, worthy to be glorified by his actions. As a Hejuar Swami said, just like Bhagiratha, how he brought the Ganga, Alakananda, the celestial Ganga to the earth, in the same way, Srila Prabhupada has brought the river of Bhakti, the ocean of Bhakti to this world, and spread it all over the world. So for us, if we want to truly glorify him and not be the cause of a disintegration, not be the ones who deviated, then we have to very carefully read and study Srila Prabhupada's books, listen to his lectures, Then we'll know. Then we'll know what to do. Then we'll know how to choose a guru. Some people don't want to, they want to take initiation. So there's been some discussion about that, how to choose a guru. So the one idea was that everybody should be told, you first read all the Prabhupada's books first, listen to his lectures, and then if you are persons who are giving initiation, you study them, see if they're actually following Prabhupada, then it's up to you to decide. Is that person following Srila Prabhupada? Is he a fit representative? Not simply by that he smiled at me. You know, he gave me a flower. That's not how you choose a guru. Are they a live wire conducting electricity from the powerhouse? That's how you choose a guru. And how will you know if they are unless you see what's coming from Srila Prabhupada? That's when you know if you have a live wire or not. Otherwise, if we are not tending to a live wire, that makes us dead wires. We don't want to be that. Because that's not going to continue the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya's mission will happen whether ISKCON is involved or not. It's not gravity still works even if we don't believe in it. Lord Chaitanya's mission will still happen even if we're not helping it. ISKCON will either get the glory or not. It's like Krishna said to Arjuna. These soldiers are already killed by my arrangement. Now you just have to be the instrument. Because if Arjuna wasn't going to be the instrument, somebody else would be the instrument. There were so many other people there. There was Satyaki. There was Bhima. Bhima was definitely up for it. There was a lot of people who could definitely fill the bill. But Krishna chose Arjuna. And then at the end of the, Drona Parva, as Arjuna and Krishna were driving along, Arjuna has, I have a question. As we're fighting along, I see this one warrior, this person ahead of us, and from him, this ferocious looking person, from him, thousands and millions of arrows are flying out of him and killing everybody. Who is that person? And then Krishna says, Lord Shiva, I told everybody was already dead. You're just
looks like you're the one, but actually he's doing it on my behalf. He's killing everybody. But you're getting the credit.
So Lord Chaitanya's mission will be fulfilled. Now we just have to decide if we are going to be the ones to help him. We're going to be the instruments. We're going to be the instruments of his mission. Srila Prabhupada so many times emphasized, you know, I've written these books for the atheists, my disciples. So we have to be them. When I say disciples, it's Diksha and Shiksha disciples. We have to read them and study them. I just didn't publish these books so that we could make money by selling them. We're businessmen. Because we're reading. Because we have to, ultimately we have to preach to ourselves. We have to be able to preach to ourselves. Because that time will come. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Only one way to be born, so many interesting ways to die. None of them pleasant. So what are you going to do at that time? How are you going to remember Krishna? Unless you've been reading, you've been studying. Then when that moment will come, and that moment will come, you'll be able to grab onto something. The last week or the week before, I was speaking to this one devotee, and he had his young daughter with him. Where is he? Anyway, so I asked how old the girl was. I was waving at the girl. She was just laughing and, you know, bubbling. I was waving at her, and she was smiling and waving back. She's 9 months old. So I mentioned, 9 months old. That means 18 months ago, she was somebody else. That means 18 months ago, she died. And 9 months later, she took birth. And then she started crying. She was inconsolable. She started crying and crying and crying. Because, as I mentioned, for a 9-month-old girl, the previous life is much more... they're much more in touch with their previous life than they are with this lifetime. Until above age 4, you are much more in touch with your previous life. So when I was waving at her, when she was, you know, that whole 4-year process of complete indoctrination into getting confused with this lifetime. So when I was just waving at her, she was all happy with it. And I reminded her that she had died 9 months ago, or 18 months ago, and then took birth. She immediately started weeping. She was just screaming. Then I waved at her, made her, you know, wave at her, forget that she had died and got rebirth. Then she was like all happy again. How is she going to... she could understand what I was saying, that I was talking about her previous death and birth. She could understand that. And that's what's going to happen to all of us. How are we going to solve that problem? The problem is solved by deeply studying Srila Prabhupada's books, digesting the knowledge, and giving it to others. Verbatim, accurately, without any deviation. If I have any success, it was because I did not deviate from the instructions of my guru. Srila Prabhupada said that when he first met Bhaktisiddhanta, he couldn't understand a word Bhaktisiddhanta was saying. But because Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking about a mile over everybody else's head. But he liked to listen. He liked to listen, so he just listened. Because even if we're not intelligent enough to understand, the heart, the soul in the heart can hear, can understand. One time Srila Prabhupada was on 22nd Avenue in the Bowery. There was one wino, a drunkard. So I was saying, at that time he didn't have like a whole room full of people. He had just a few people. Sometimes he would just be empty. He would just preach, give classes to the walls. Anyway, he said, you bring that person in. You drag in that drunken person, completely, you know, unconscious. He gave the classes. Okay, now take him out. The soul has heard. The soul has heard. We may not understand, but the soul is understanding. So even though Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking in the stratosphere, they was explaining when Bhaktisiddhanta would go to BHU, Banaras Hindu University, where all these, you know, super elite Advaitists are, you know, that Bhaktisiddhanta would give a speech in Sanskrit, that they were completely stunned. They were completely, their mouths open because they couldn't figure out what he was saying. And then one of his disciples would have to translate it into their level so that they could catch it.
you know, they were so, you know, they so puffed up about how educated they are, so knowledgeable. So Srila Prabhupada, you know, he, even though he couldn't understand, he knew it was very profound, and he listened. And then later Bhaktisiddhanta marked that he listened, he comes to listen. And of course later by constant, you know, you understand. It's like when I first got the Bhagavad Gita, I was a math major, undergraduate degree, did my undergraduate degree in pure mathematics. I couldn't understand, you know, I had to reread each paragraph about 5 or 6 times and I still couldn't understand what really was being said. But I knew that something was important here. It was very, because I read so many philosophy books before, which were just totally sentimental. But Srila Prabhupada was giving the bare, unadulterated truth. And even though I couldn't wrap my mind around it, you know, still I read it. And it sunk in, I just kept reading it. And that's the nature of the Gita is, no matter how many times you read it, when you read it again, it's still fresh. It's because it's a person. The Gita is a person. Krishna is speaking to us. It's always something fresh. There's always something new is there. Because the more we develop, then from the Bhagavad Gita speaks to us at that level. So this is the knowledge Srila Prabhupada is giving us. So for us to be able to preach to others, the first person we have to preach to is who? Our own mind. Our own mind. You want to see the enemy? You go look in the mirror. Second chapter, Gita Krishna explains, you know, that the lust, yeah? That lust, where's the situation? Raja, you know, Raja Guna. Anyway, he said that lust is situated in the mind, intelligence, and the senses. It's not the opposite sex, it's not this, not that. The enemy is in the mirror. We are the enemy. First person to preach to is us. And by preaching to others, we were preaching to us. Just when I was laying in the hospital, the doctor was, you know, after that car accident I had a few years back. Actually, that would have been the day before yesterday was the 6th anniversary of that car accident, the day before Janmashtami. So I was there, 12 broken bones, bleeding everywhere, in pain more than I can spend. I was preaching to the doctor. Not for him, for me. I'm not this body. I'm the soul. I was preaching and he kept telling me to be quiet. I didn't want to be quiet because I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that. But I was in so much pain, I needed to hear I was not the body. And help me. Otherwise I would have gone mad. Unexplainable pain. And that's what it's going to be like when you die. Pain so much, so confused, you will not. When I regained consciousness, I didn't know who I was, or to speak of where I was, or how I got there. That's what when you're going to die is going to be like. You're going to be totally disoriented. Only one way to be born, so many interesting ways to die. None of them pleasant. A few persons will have a choir around them doing bhajan. Don't count on it. Don't count on that. One of my god brothers, if you ever listen to the japa tape, the Prabhupada is chanting japa. And he says, what did he say? Sit up straight. You heard that? Prabhupada of the Lord, sit up straight. What happened to him? He was walking, he's an Italian devotee. They told me this 10 years ago in Italy, I was there for Janmashtami. So he was walking in Italy on the road, got hit by a car. The driver stopped, and he thought, well, I think he's dead. We dragged him off the road, dragged him into a field, and they drove away. When they found the body, he wasn't dead. Yeah, he had not died. He had been attacked by wild animals, and they could see that he had been fighting off the wild animals. That's how he died. So we can die in any situation. Don't count that we'll die comfortably in bed in Mayapur, surrounded by 150 devotees doing bhajan. So we have to be prepared for that.
Like they said, the five sons of the Pandavas, how did they die in their sleep, murdered? Death can come, because when you're born, and your horoscope, it always says, how are you going to die? But don't count that it's going to be nice. It can be any way. But now is the time to prepare for that. I'm sure that devotee was thinking of Krishna when he was fighting for his life and eventually died. It's a very, life is, that's one thing I recall. I got that very strong realization as I was laying on the highway. Material world is extremely cruel. We're in a very cruel place. And Krishna told us about it. He wasn't kidding when he said, the Prabhupada tells us, Dukkhalaya Mashashvata. Bhojanalaya means what? A place for food, right? Vidyalaya is a place of learning. So what is Dukkhalaya? A place of suffering. That's what this world is. It's a place of suffering. He wasn't kidding. Krishna was not, he's not kidding. He's not a kidder. Of course, with the gopis, he kids around sometimes. But when he says this, the material world is a temporary place full of misery, he's not joking. He's not joking. We'll all have to have that experience. So that little child, when I started reminding her, and he thought she's like, oh, 9-month-old girls, she could understand I was talking about her previous death and rebirth. She went from being totally jolly and happy to crying in such misery. Remember they changed the subject? But when they brought it back to that, she immediately started crying. How did she... I did it several times. Just as she immediately could understand I was talking about her past life and then... the two most horrible things have death and then rebirth. Only, you know, back to back. Old age and suffering that stretched out over a long time. So, this is where... So, Srila Prabhupada has told us, has given us the method of how to escape from this horrible cycle. Horrible cycle. Which we have created ourselves. All our own... You know, Krishna didn't invite us to come down here. We came down because we wanted to. So Krishna's inviting us how to get out. So Srila Prabhupada is a messenger of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada once said that when he was had an intimate discussion, he was saying how Krishna asked him to come to the material world. He didn't want to come. Did not want to come because it's so horrible. But he came anyway. Because Krishna asked him, please come. Fulfill my mission. And after Lord Chaitanya leaves, Srila Prabhupada enters into the world to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after Lord Chaitanya leaves one universe, then Srila Prabhupada enters into that universe to fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya. So we have to cooperate to fulfill that mission. Cooperation means we have to be educated to know how to fulfill that requirements. It's like if you go to the military and you're given a mission, they train you so that you can fulfill that mission, right? Otherwise you just go in there, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to shoot a gun, then nothing's going to happen. You have to be totally trained, prepared, if there's going to be any hope of fulfilling the mission and returning alive. So we have to, the onus is on us. Srila Prabhupada has given us the books, giving us his recorded lectures, study them, imbibe them into our life. Read the books, live those books, and distribute those books. Then we'll become the person Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gives them as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If Lord Chaitanya was staying in the Jagannath Puri, many people wanted to come because he was a famous person. They wanted to show some with what their learning was, write some poetry. Many of them were bogus. So there was a screening process. So Damodar would read anything before it could go to Lord Chaitanya. If it wasn't any good, then forget about it. If it was good, then they would pass it on to Lord Chaitanya. Well, this one Brahmin came from East Bengal, and he had written something, you know, about, you know, it was not according to Siddhanta, it was Rasa-Masa. But he was humble. So what Sudhamra could notice that this man was humble. He wasn't just puffed up. And so he began to give him good instruction. He said, if you want to understand, you have to approach the Bhagavatam. And there's two. There's the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. The person who's inculcated the knowledge of the Bhagavatam. From them, you should study. That means you also have to become, to transmit this knowledge, to continue the Guru Parampara. That means each and every one of us have to understand this knowledge. Otherwise, who's going to give it to the next generation? And if you don't want to become an official Diksha Guru, you have to give it to your children at least. Who was Prabhupada's first guru? Yes. Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, he dedicated it to his father, Gormohan Bey, pure devotee of Krishna. He learned everything from his father. He said his father would worship the deity in the morning, then go to work and come back at night, worship the deity again. He said he kept the clock business just to maintain the family, because actually his main business was worshiping the deity. So that's where Prabhupada got his devotion from his father. So if we're not going to have at least left to go to initiate the people, at least our own children should be given that opportunity. It's like Srila Prabhupada, if it had not been for his father, then what? If it had not been for Bhaktisiddhanta's mother, I wouldn't be here. After Bhaktisiddhanta was born, his mother took him for 4 years, for several years. She took him to her village, and she was to the home village, and she was nurturing him, teaching him everything, because she was a pure Vaishnavi. His other family members, he did not care to meet with them much. When his sister came, he didn't want to talk with her. But when his mother was on her deathbed, he went to see her, because she was a pure devotee. And what did she tell him? You have to promise me you will fulfill your father's desire and preach in the West. Preach in the West. So if it wasn't the mother instructing the son, we wouldn't be, the parents', you know, influence on the children can be very profound. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his wife had a very profound influence on Bhaktisiddhanta because of her insistence that he preach in the West. He started pushing, sending devotees to the West. He would have liked to have gone himself. Unfortunately, he didn't. But did that save something for Srila Prabhupada to do? And Prabhupada left something for us to do. A lot. There's a lot to do. So I'm just requesting everybody to cooperate with Srila Prabhupada's desire that we all become we read his books, study his books, then we'll all become close to Srila Prabhupada. We hear Srila Prabhupada speak. The other acharyas, we can read their books. When you hear Srila Prabhupada speak, then you get to know the person. There's about 1,800 hours of recorded lectures, talks, morning walk conversations. So if you just listen to that 2 hours a day, 2 hours a day, how long that would take? 900 days, that's almost like 3 years. So if you spend 2 hours a day with a person, you think you might get to know them? Yes? If you spent 2 hours a day with somebody, you'd get to know them, right? So if you spent 2 hours a day with Srila Prabhupada, even 1 hour a day, then you'd get to know Srila Prabhupada. Very, one of the Prabhupada's very funny, extremely humorous person. He's often making jokes, cracking jokes. He had a remarkable ability of exactly imitating any sound. Or a frog, or a horse, or a car, or and very witty, very fast, very sharp. And he endeared himself to
to all his disciples by that, by his charm. Why we were listening, why it was because of the knowledge, not just charm, but the profound knowledge. And he's always training up his disciples how to preach. For example, one time he was, Prabhupada was in Cheviot Park in Los Angeles, and he just heard that the British government was going to ban our Rath Yatra in London. So what did Srila Prabhupada do? He said, first of all, he said, an expert businessman, he can make profit if the market is going up, if the market is going down. So, we will preach whether they allow us or not. If they allow us, we'll preach. If they don't allow us, we'll also preach. So he started telling them how to organize a protest, how to organize political protest. We should start doing all that, you know. And this way we'll be preaching by our protesting. He was not going to be deterred that the British government was going to stop us. Their stopping us would just become another opportunity for preaching. Nothing was going to stop Srila Prabhupada. He did not become, you know, discouraged. He started giving complete instructions on how to do civil disobedience to the British government. Told instruction how you should do it, how you should organize it. Because why? It's a preaching opportunity. Not that we should all hang our heads in defeat. No. This is a better way to preach. There'll be television, there'll be newspaper coverage, they'll be wondering why we're protesting, we'll be giving our philosophy, like that. So every opportunity Srila Prabhupada took, how we can preach, how we can push forward, how we can make progress. So for him, there was never unstoppable. Because there's no material impediment to making spiritual progress. That's what it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nothing can impede you materially if you want to make spiritual progress. So for Srila Prabhupada, when he saw it as an obstacle, he didn't see it as an obstacle, he saw it as an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to preach in a different way, a more effective way. And it worked. They allowed us to do the Rath Yatra because of our protest. Now, we've been, ever since, you know, from Trafalgar Square, we have Rath Yatra. So when you begin to listen regularly, Srila Prabhupada, you will see that person, Srila Prabhupada. You become in touch with Srila Prabhupada. You'll be touched by him. You'll become infected with his desire to please Krishna. It's an infection, it's a disease. There are negative infections and there's positive infections, right? Sadhu Sangha, the whole idea of Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Shastra, Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Siddhi Bho. If you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. If you associate with sadhus, you become a sadhu. So if you associate with Srila Prabhupada, then you'll get that samskara, right? Samskara, that's the whole idea. We get there's the dasa samskara. Well, this is another samskara. You just get it into your brain, marked onto your heart. Where is Mataji? Vara Shakti, Mataji. So, what did you tell your husband after hearing Srila Prabhupada lectures for several times? What's that? Okay. Anybody else here? Give her a mic. Yes. 20 years were wasted, right? Now your Krishna consciousness began. So why wait for 20 years more? Start right now. We have available there Prabhupada Vakya, all of the complete collection of Prabhupada said, spoken word, for 200 rupees. When I purchased it, it was $2,000. Discount rate. So thank you very much for allowing me to purify myself. I glorify Srila Prabhupada. Hoping that you will take advantage of this human life and help Srila Prabhupada fulfill his desire of delivering the fallen souls from this material world of great suffering. Any questions or comments? All right. What is next on the agenda?
Push button. Announcement? Give an announcement?
I don't know what's on the schedule.
Okay, go right ahead.